Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, all saints from the branch churches and the local sanctuaries, GCN viewers, and all children of God who attended worship online, this is fourth lecture on Genesis. In the last lecture, you saw Adam and Eve hide themselves when God the Father's divided enemy came into the Garden of Eden. Previously, they used to welcome God with joy after eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. However, they hid themselves from the presence of God. Now, let's take a look at the Genesis chapter 3:9. It says, "And Lord God called the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' God the Father looked for Adam." God is omniscient and omnipotent. Did he look for Adam because he didn't know where he was? No, not at all. He knew everything. He knew Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they hid. Yet he looked for Adam because he wanted to confirmation directly from Adam. He wanted Adam to come before God and confess everything honestly. God the Father gave Adam a chance to repent. He tried to hear from Adam why Adam committed such a sin in Adam's shoes. God the Father knows everything precisely, and so he didn't need to ask Adam. He might have said to Adam and Eve, "Since you committed sin, you shall be punished for it," and judge them on the spot, but he didn't. He rather first looked for Adam. Because he wanted to give a chance to Adam so that Adam could repent and turn back. Dear brothers and sisters, the things we should remember from tonight's scripture is the fact that it was God the first to look for Adam. People generally do not want to see or meet anyone who has betrayed them or caused them a hard time. When you meet that traitor, you feel the pain you felt because of him again. You may even burst out in anger. It is even more so when someone you love and trusted betrays you. Most people become disgusted with such a person and they angrily hate them. Therefore, it is rare for a betrayed person to seek out the person who betrayed him and hear his history. However, God the Creator, our Father, looked for the creature Adam first. From the very beginning, God the Father had given great love to Adam. Adam had a need of nothing, and God gave Adam the highest authority a creature could enjoy. Adam enjoyed all things for countless ages, but he was tempted by Satan and betrayed God. Even though Adam did this, God still sought out Adam. We can see how merciful and how full of grace God the Father is. At this point, we can feel the humanity of God the Father. If God the Father had a strong divine side at this moment, he could have punished Adam and Eve right away. It's possible because God rules all things in justice and because he is the only judge. However, at the very moment, God was looking for Adam to have mercy on him as he is a merciful father. Dear brothers and sisters, especially workers and the pastors, how do you treat people who make things difficult for you or oppose you? Aren't you trying to sort out the right and wrong first? Didn't you judge and condemn him by the standard of the justice, saying, how could that person who should know the word of God commit such a sin? Or even if the someone who can't understand, do you try to understand them from their perspective? I hope you too can experience the same sorrowful feeling that Father God felt when He sought out Adam after he sinned. If you have such a hurt, you can harbor any souls with a love no matter what kind of sin they committed. Our Lord Jesus also has an exact copy of God the Father's hurt. He did not break the souls that were like a bruised reed, nor did He quench the smoldering wick. He entrusted everything completely to God the Father, who judges only with justice and love. I myself have treated souls with this heart of God, the Father, and of the Lord. Since I started the church, I've met many different people. People who have betrayed and abandoned trust and love. People who have repeatedly repented and committed a sin. People who have brought great difficulties to the church by committing evil out of the selfish desires. I've also seen many people who make it difficult for brothers in the faith. Even if someone's crimes was clearly evident, I did not arbitrarily judge or condemn them. I made sure to give them the opportunity to defend themselves and consider their position. Instead of blaming them, I tried to understand them by asking, why did they have to do that? I tried to forgive them. No matter what end, I tried to find a way to save them. I didn't force them to repent in fear, but I guided them to realize their fault and to repent from their inner hurt. And I prayed for them honestly. I begged God the Father to have mercy on them and to give them the spirit of repentance. Until they were forgiven, I suffered together from the burden of sin, and I tried all means of to give them strength. I tried to make more eye contacts with them, and I shook hands with them more firmly. Then I saw many souls feel the love of God the Father in their heart, repent, and turn back. I've never hated even those who harmed me and left me. I was sorry for them going the way of death, and I waited until they could repent with time. Also, I always made sure they would come back. I did not mention their names, nor I did share with you who betrayed them, betrayed me, how they committed their crimes, and how they were committed the sin. They could have deceived the saints, but I didn't dare to close the way for them to repent and to turn back. I also had to think about their families. Our Father God wants all people to be saved. He hopes that the sinners turn from the path of death and back to salvation and eternal life. I hope that you too will treat your family and the neighbors with this heart of God the Father. Moreover, they're my family. So what family wouldn't understand? Is there anything that cannot be understood between a couple, between parents and children, or between siblings? Dear brothers and sisters, God the Father didn't come into the Garden of Eden to scold Adam. He came to show His mercy as a loving and a caring Father. Without realizing that God the Father had such a hurt, Adam continued to use even more fleshly thought. In Genesis chapter 3:10, Adam says to God who was looking for him, "I heard a sound of you in garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." You can see how much fleshly thought had already seized him. Before Adam ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he had only spiritual thoughts. At the time when God called them, only the spiritual thought came to his mind alone, feeling love of God. But after eating the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he felt fear with the thought, "I should hide." Their saying that goes, "He that commits a fault thinks everyone speaks of it." It means the one who commits sin naturally becomes nervous in his heart. After Adam committed sin, he felt nervous and uneasy about the time when God would question him about it. Fleshly thoughts are apt to proceed in advance of those who commit sin. And the fleshly thoughts are followed by anxiety, nervousness, and fear. When people don't cast off a fleshly thought in this situation, it is difficult to turn back from the way of the sinner. It's because the fleshly thought conceived yet another sin, because Satan keeps leading us to untrue thought and evil, bad things. Those who have committed such a sin may lie or deceive the others to avoid the moment. This can eventually lead to irreversible consequences. Romans chapters 8 to 6 says, "For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace." Even if a fleshly thought arises, you should break the chain so that they do not progress further. How happy would you be if you live a life of faith without fleshly thoughts? You can receive the clear voice of guidance of the Holy Spirit. When you break free from the chains of the fleshly thought, you can be guided by the Holy Spirit. You cannot hear the voice of the Holy Spirit because you think according to the flesh. You can't hear the voice of the Holy Spirit because your fleshly thoughts are blocking it. You start calculating and thinking first, so you need to break that cycle. And you must change it to mind of the Spirit. It says that the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. The mind of the Spirit is life and peace in itself. It's peace without worry or concern. So how can we break the... So cast off the chain of the fleshly thought, just peace and not worrying reminding you. So how can we break the chain of a fleshly thought and replace them with a spiritual thought? How great it would be if we change it to a spiritual one anytime. But the more you try to forget the fleshly thought, the more they come to mind. Why does it happen all the time to you? Are you struggling fighting the thoughts that keep coming to your mind? Here's a way to solve it. You just have to change the feeling. When that fleshly thought first comes to mind, the fleshly thought is input along with the feelings and then re-merges the thought, the work of the soul. In other words, your knowledge of untruth is input with the feelings and then comes out again through the functions of the soul. Knowledge entered without any feeling easily disappears from your memory and is not easily recalled in thoughts. Back to the main topic, when Adam realized that he himself had a sin, he felt, I'm afraid of God. He also remembered the word that if he ate from the tree, he would surely die. That's why Adam hid with Eve when God was looking for him. If Adam had cast off the feelings that God was fearful, his reacts would have been different. If Adam had felt that God is a father of love when he heard the sound of God looking for him, he wouldn't have been afraid of God and hid himself. Even though he felt ashamed and sorry, he would have stood before God. 1 John chapter 4, 18 says that there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves punishment, and one who fears is not perfected in love. If you truly love God, there's no fear. We see that Job was afraid and that fear eventually came upon him. If you truly love God, there's no fear. Do I fear God? I've never been afraid of Him. Never. Why? Because I believe by His word since I was a new believer. But if you say that you did not live according to the word of God, then of course you would be afraid. Because you know that there is a judgment and hell. As he said, he who fears is not made perfect in love. If you truly love God, you would keep all His commandments and live in the light without fear. As it said, Adam should have remembered the love of the Father God who shared the love with him for countless ages, and he should have held fast to that love. However, Adam hadn't experienced the relativity, and so he couldn't feel the love of Father God from his inner heart. He was so loved from the beginning that he didn't realize how precious it was. Thanks to the great love of God, though, we received the grace of salvation when we were destined for death. God let His only begotten Son Jesus take the punishment of death on our behalf. You should have this love deeply engraved into your heart. Don't just let God's word pass you by. Try to feel God's love when you hear the word like this. What kind of a love is this that God gave us, His only begotten Son? We must feel the love and the sacrifice that enabled Jesus to abandon all the glory of heaven, come here, suffer from His creature's tortures, mocking, and bear the cross. We must feel that suffering the Lord endured was His love for us. If you truly feel it, no matter how stubborn you are, you cannot betray the Lord or God. You will never do something like crucify the Lord again. Even animals know how to repay kindness to those who have done them good. Moreover, we are human. Sometimes there are heartwarming stories that happened at the zoo. There was a story about a lion saving a tiger from danger, and the two fell in love and had a cub. You know it? In fact, lions and tigers are completely different species and cannot be friends. But one of the two beasts helped the other. I don't remember exactly, but it actually happened, and it was even broadcast as a documentary. Even such a beast do not forget those who help them, and eventually become a lifelong companions, even producing offspring. There are so many animals that repay kindness like that. A Jinda dog I was raising got lost in a forest and came back after 16 days, reduced to nothing but skin and bones. The dog was caught in the trap set by people and somehow managed to break free and escape. But its entire body was bruised and its flesh was deeply cut. After enduring such a difficult time for about 16 days without eating anything, the dog returned home, my prayer center. I took good care of the dog, even feeding it grilled fish. In fact, this dog was not very affectionate toward people and would wander outside alone and come back late. But after this incident, he stopped going outside and started liking and following people. You know the story of the dove, right? When the bird fell in front of my house with an injured leg, I wrapped its leg, treated and fed it. From then on, the bird would come to my house every morning to play and then return to his nest in the evening. The dove always played in my front yard until the bird died. It always came to our front yard in the morning to play and then went back. It used to bring friends' birds over to play too. But sadly, he got bitten and died when he got too close to a German shepherd on the other side. The German shepherd bite it. Even birds, dogs, and the tigers know and repay kindness. Why do people not know grace? God's grace, the Lord's grace, the love and the grace of God who gave His only begotten Son as a sacrifice of atonement. Our Lord, who left all the glory of heaven and came to this earth for us, walked the path of suffering, was crucified, had a crown of a thorn on His head, was nailed to His hands and feet, was pierced with a spear in His side, and the water and the blood poured out, and was whipped and torn. He atoned for our sins with such a sacrifice. How can people betray such a Lord? How can they commit such a sin, sin that leads to death, while turning a blind eye to the sacrifice of the Lord? If we know the grace of the Lord, we must quickly cast off our sinful nature and achieve the holiness. So we must become a children of God the Father who casts off a sinful nature and sanctified. Even beasts and the pigeons, dogs, and the tigers know this grace. So how can people forget it? It's natural that you find the evil in your heart during the steps for being sanctified. You may disappear and become discouraged by your fleshly thoughts. I still have this evil. I still have a long way to go. These thoughts drain your strength, but remember the love of the Father God. Please think about how much grace and love He has given you. That the Father, then and now, is waiting and expecting His children to become perfect. When we think of our Father who is patient and loving, we can change our fleshly thought into the spiritual ones. When your evil is discovered, it's God's grace and love that you can pluck it out. If you didn't know it was still in your heart, how could you possibly enter a better heaven and the New Jerusalem? If you think in the spirit like this, you will gain strength to cast off evil. You will have a heart for fervent prayer, and you can march on toward sanctification all the more quickly. But Adam continued to speak and act with the thought of the flesh. This is because although he received a lot of love from God the Father, he did not experience relativity, and thus could not feel that love from the center of his heart. However, we can see that God the Father continues to treat Adam with love. In Genesis chapter 3:11, God said to Adam, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" As I told you earlier, God the Father knew everything Adam did. When Adam said, "I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself," God the Father knew it was because Adam ate from the tree. Therefore, God could have directly questioned Adam, saying, "Did you eat from the tree that I forbid you to eat from?" Even though God the Father knew Adam committed sin, He still wanted to trust Adam. He didn't directly question Adam, saying, "Did you eat from the tree that I told you not to eat from?" He first said to Adam, "Who told you that you were naked?" Did God ask because Adam didn't know that he himself was naked? What God meant was, who told you that being naked was shameful? God trusted Adam to the end and wanted to give him a chance to explain his situation. How do you disciple in your children? If they do suspicious behavior, do you immediately judge or condemn them? Many people quickly judge and condemn their children. Husband and blames their wives and vice versa. You've hidden something from your dad, haven't you? You did it again, even though your mom told you not to. When parents blame their children like this, they will close their heart. Again, it may be completely wrong to question, judge, and condemn in this way. Parents' guesses may be correct, but if they are wrong, children lose trust in their parents and become closed off. Loss of motivations to change their behavior because the kids feel that their parents don't trust them. According to child experts, when parents are forceful with their children, the children feel more scared than they do wrong. Also, no matter what they do, they lose confidence and become discouraged. In the worst case, it may develop into childhood depression. Then what should you do? All you have to do is just to do what God the Father did with Adam. Before scolding your children for their mistake, give them a chance to talk about why they had to do that. Say, "Your little son came back home and told you, 'I will never play with that friend the next door.' Then, typical parents instinctively say, like, you shouldn't say such a things. You have to play well with your friend, as if they were scolding. In this case, the son didn't want his parents to judge what was right and wrong. The son does know what is goodness and what is evil. The reason he said that what he did was to be comforted by his parents. The child wanted to parents to understand his feeling of being upset. But if a parent unconditionally emphasized the principle and say you shouldn't do that, the child's mind won't be at ease. In this case, parents should understand his hurt and smooth his feelings. Parents' warm comfort puts children at ease and give them the strength to solve a problem on their own. I've always dealt with the servant of God, the church workers, and the members in the spiritual love. No matter how great the faults and the many mistakes he made, I believe in him, hoped for him, and endured because I loved his whole soul. Once I came to know someone committed sin, I surely listened to him. I tried to understand why he thought he couldn't do anything else at his level of faith. And I repented for him before God the Father instead of him and interceded for his transgression. Besides, I was not quick to judge a hearing only from one side, but both sides. The reason I'm asking the people involved to find out the truth is not to determine who is right or wrong. It's to help them fully repent before God and forgiven of their sin. Some people are suffering from unforgivable past events, so those families are also suffering, but they don't know why they are under the suffer. When children are suffering, it's crucial to find out why. Is it because of the parents or is it their own problem? If the problem is caused by the parents, I give them a hint, urging them to repent. If it's caused by their children, I offer advice to the children. If they truly repent, the whole family will be free from the suffering, but there are cases where they do not fully repent, even after being advised and the given method, and so they continue to be in the midst of the suffering. I pray and encourage them to receive the forgiveness of their sin. Only then can they escape from the trial and the afflictions due to their mistake. According to what I've experienced so far, however, when I ask a question, they first give me an excuse or they put blames on others. Indeed, they give me a wrong answer many times. It was the same case with Adam. He didn't understand the heart of God the Father. Instead, he was afraid and ended up putting blames on others. We will continue on this in this next lecture. Dear brothers and sisters, in this lecture, we saw that God the Father looked for Adam and Eve after they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God the Father came to look for Adam with the heart of the mercy and wanted to listen to honest answer from Adam. At first, Adam, who had been hiding from God, slowly revealed himself. Then he says he was afraid when he heard a voice of God and hid. It must have really hurt God the Father's heart when he saw them. The son, the Adam, who used to welcome him with joy, was now hiding himself from God in fear. God the Father wanted to give him a chance, but he didn't realize the heart of God the Father. Most people who commit sin generally appear to have this character shown by Adam and Eve. But what the saint must remember, the heart of God the Father who came to find Adam who had sinned. Jeremiah chapter 29, 11 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declare the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you future and hope." Of course, God the Father knows. God does not intend to bring disaster, but rather to give you the hope and future. scared? Ezekiel chapter 18:23. Do I have any pleasure in death of the wicked, declared the Lord God, rather than he should turn from his way and live? I hope that you can feel such a love of Father God, perfectly walking light. I pray in the name of the Lord that you may boldly seek God's face and live with the grace of always being with the Father.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centers, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness, and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer, and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.